The morning begins without urgency. Light settles over Rome, as it always does. Soft against stone, steady against a city that has learned to absorb upheaval without losing its rhythm. The streets fill gradually, voices layering over one another, merchants arranging their goods, servants moving with practiced efficiency. Nothing in the air suggests that this day will carry more weight than the last. And yet, for a small group of men, the day has already narrowed. They move through the city with purpose, though not all at the same pace. Some walk ahead, focused, their path already decided. Others follow more slowly, as if giving themselves time, not to reconsider, but to delay the moment when thought must become action. Each of them carries a version of the same conviction, shaped differently, justified differently, but leading to the same place. Something has to change, and the system they are part of no longer allows that change to happen from within.
Welcome to the Members in the Room podcast, where we share real-life stories about leadership and their underlying human behavior rooted in science and research. We unpack and interpret the evolutionary forces behind it to help you to better lead your people for outstanding business results.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Mammoth in the Room, where we explore leadership lessons that stand the test of time, using history and neuroscience to explain the human behavior behind pivotal decisions, because those same patterns still shape how leaders and teams succeed or fail in organizations today. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, CEO of Mammoth Leadership Sciences. By now, Julius Caesar stands at a height that few before him had reached. Named dictator for life, honored repeatedly and surrounded by a structure that increasingly aligns itself around his will, he represents both the resolution of Rome's instability and the embodiment of a new uncertainty. For many, he is the man who ended chaos. For others, he is the beginning of something that they do not yet fully understand. Among those walking toward the Senate that morning are men who have known him in different ways. Some as allies, some as opponents, some as both at different points in time. Gaius Cassius Longinus walks with a clarity that borders on impatience, his mind long settled on what must be done. Beside him, Marcus Junius Brutus carries the same destination, though not the same certainty. His thoughts returning again and again to the line he has crossed and the one he is about to cross again. They do not speak much. There is nothing left to say that has not already been said. The theater of Pompeii stands ahead, its presence both familiar and symbolic, a place where Rome's political life continues to perform itself, even as its foundations have shifted. Inside, the Senate will gather, as it always does, following the rituals that have outlived so many individual men. Caesar arrives without hesitation. He has been warned, in small ways, indirect ways, rumors, suggestions, fragments of concern that never quite take full form. None of them have been strong enough to interrupt his course. None have carried the weight of certainty. And in a system that no longer produces clear resistance, ambiguity is easy to dismiss. He enters as the central figure he has become, acknowledged, observed, and, in ways that matter more than they appear, already accommodated. The session begins. At first, everything unfolds within the expected rhythm. A petition is brought forward, one of many that cross his path, presented with a deference that has become routine. It draws a small group of men closer, their positioning unremarkable, their proximity justified by the structure of the moment itself. It is how the systems are used when they are no longer questioned. The circle tightens, though not in any way that would immediately register a threat. A hand reaches out, another voice rises, and for a brief moment the scene holds together as it always has. Order maintained, roles intact, meaning still anchored in familiarity. Then the pattern breaks. The first movement is abrupt, almost clumsy. Publius Servilius Casca steps forward and strikes, not with the precision of a practiced assassin, but with the urgency of someone who understands that hesitation would undo everything. The blade does not land cleanly. Caesar reacts instantly, more in surprise than fear, turning, raising his arms, his voice breaking through the room with a force that has commanded attention for years. But this is no longer a room that responds in the same way. Others move now, faster. The hesitation that marked their walk replaced by the momentum of action that cannot be reversed. Blades rise and fall in close succession, some deliberate, some uncertain, each one closing the distance between decision and consequence. Caesar tries to orient himself within the chaos, to identify, to understand. For a moment, he resists, not as a symbol, but as a man confronted by something he had not fully believed could happen here, in this place, within this system, his system. Then he sees Brutus. It is not a theoretical moment, not a pause long enough to reshape what is already in motion, but it is enough. A flicker of recognition that carries more weight than the words history would later attach to it. Whatever trust remained, whatever assumptions had held, collapse in that instant. The resistance fades, the room closes in, and then it is over. There is no immediate triumph, no unified declaration. What follows is something far less certain. The men step back, breathing unevenly, their attention shifting from the act itself to its meaning, and then almost immediately to its consequences. What had felt necessary now feels incomplete, as if the removal of the man has not produced the clarity they had imagined. The body lies still, but the system does not reset. Around them, the Senate chamber no longer feels like a place of authority. It feels exposed, stripped of the coherence that held it together, even if that coherence had been built around one single individual. Outside, Rome continues for a moment, as if nothing has happened, the news moving slowly, unevenly, shaped by interpretation as much as by fact. Some will call it liberation, others will see it as the return of instability. Most will simply wait, watching to see what comes next. Inside, the realization settles more quickly. They have removed Julius Caesar. They have not restored the Republic, because what they confronted was never only one man. It was a system that had evolved around him, adapting, narrowing, concentrating, and that system does not disappear with a single act. It shifts, it reacts, it searches for a new center. And in that search, it will not remain still. Next time, we follow what happens when that movement accelerates, when the attempts to reclaim control gives way to forces that cannot be contained, and when Rome moves decisively towards a future that none of these men intended to create. All right, well, drama at last. But what does this leave us with as modern leaders? If I want you to take away only two things from this episode, it would be these. First, when a system no longer allows for honest feedback or internal correction, pressure does not disappear. It accumulates beneath the surface, often unnoticed, until it becomes impossible to ignore. When it finally finds an outlet, it rarely does so in a controlled or constructive way. As a leader, your responsibility is not just to drive alignment, but to actively maintain channels where tension can surface early, be explored and be addressed before it transforms into something far more disruptive. And secondly, removing an individual is rarely enough to solve a systemic problem. If the underlying dynamics, how decisions are made, how information flows, how people respond to power, remain unchanged, the system will continue to produce similar outcomes, often with a greater volatility and greater force. Sustainable leadership requires addressing those deeper structures, not just the visible figure at the center of them. The question for leaders is not only how to act in moment of crisis. It is how to prevent systems from reaching a point where crisis is the only mechanism left for change. All right, this was it again for today. If this episode resonated with you, whether as a leader, a student of history, or someone curious about why power unfolds the way it does, please subscribe, rate, and share it with someone in your network who would appreciate this kind of perspective. And lastly, if you're interested in more, you can order my book. It has the same title as this podcast, The Mammoth in the Room. It offers a practical roadmap how great leaders and their teams embrace evolutionary truths for outstanding business results. And it does that in 3 sections, on people, on strategy, and on implementation. Until next time, lead wisely, think critically, and don't let ancient instincts quietly hijack your modern leadership. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, and this is The Mammoth in the Room. Thank you for listening. If you enjoy this content, don't forget to subscribe. I'll see you on the next episode of The Mammoth in the Room.